This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow than Mustang down. Mustang Sally, my baby. Guess you better slow than Mustang down. You've been riding all over town. Oh, I guess you gotta put your flat feet on the ground.
Oh yeah, Mustang Sally, baby, with the Commitments. I feel like one of those disc jockeys back in the 60s and 70s. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Wow. And along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, June the 27th. This month is flying by, is it not? We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Thomas Gipping of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the Roe versus Wade decision in the Supreme Court and how the Heritage Foundation is taking it. How do they feel about it? We're going to get their official policy on it, so stay tuned for that in a few minutes. And what should happen with abortion procedures here in Florida? The state legislature is going to have to deal with this, and we're going to talk about it and find out maybe what the thoughts are from the proprietor of the barber pole. A little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi, and perhaps his brother, Angelo, up in New York, in Rochester, New York area. So stay tuned for that as well. And more than 1 million voters now have switched to the Republican Party in the past year. More than 1 million. What is going on? We're going to take a look at that. And we have a great ultimate top 10 for you. The top 10 most livable cities worldwide in 2022. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut guys in Tampa Bay, I'm telling you, just go to Dunedin. Go down State Road 580 Main Street, go to Overcast Drive and turn north. And right there in the Overcast Plaza, you're going to get the best haircut you can get in the Tampa Bay area. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so hold on, don't go today. But call for your appointment, if you would, 727-733-3773. And we tip the hat, of course, to Senior Voice America, the radio program. It's a great show, is it not? It precedes us with Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger and Company. Always a great program, but they're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. All right. Well, we were on the air, Ed, when the Roe versus Wade decision was announced. And needless to say, today we're going to talk a lot about the effects of that decision. We've got a lot of people that are maybe mixed up about exactly what it does. I mean, all this gnashing of teeth from the left, when indeed we are just sending the responsibility for abortion procedures back to the states. And ultimately, the people in each state are going to decide. Now, I would like to see all abortions banned, every one of them. But I understand and respect the idea that the people should have some say. Not nine people on the Supreme Court. And they said, we don't have any say in this because it's not the Constitution. So forget it, man. We're sending it back to the states because if you read the Constitution, it says whatever is not specified in this document is remanded to the states and the people, the states and or the people themselves. So that's exactly what the Supreme Court did. We have been living on a balancing act that had no constitutional underpinning called Roe versus Wade since 1973. I think it was a tragedy, an absolute tragedy, that it was made something that blanketed the entire country. And there was no underpinning. The 14th Amendment, a right to privacy, is nonsense.
I think we have to also put some, not one, maybe not blame, but responsibility at the time of conception, too.
Yeah, well, you of know? Course. Of course,
it goes it's back a personal. To, I mean, you didn't walk down the street and catch a virus that got you pregnant, you know?
No, it's something you plan on doing.
Yeah.
Of course, this is personal responsibility. It's personal
and
responsibility.
And there's other situations. There's, you know, financial, it could be health considerations, whatever. But abortions are not, as you said, they're not going to be illegal in all states.
This is an inconvenience.
You're going to travel to another state and to have that.
Yeah, and this thing about, oh, they can't travel to another state. Come on, people are crossing the state lines all the time, back and forth, everywhere.
They go buy their weed.
Just get in a car and drive over there if that's the thing that you want to do. So this thing about an inconvenience, yeah, well, it's an inconvenience to the unborn child when you abort it. So, I mean, you know, I find that that alibi a little bit weak, as it were. But in the meantime, lots of things going on. We know about all of the outrage, and of course every city has had protesters, and they're perfectly within their rights to protest, as long as they don't throw something through a window, or like some are doing, throwing red paint on facilities that take care of women that are pregnant and those kinds of things. That's not right. But that's going on. Here's something, speaking about ignorance. More than half of American voters believe the Supreme Court will limit access to birth control and same-sex marriage because Roe versus Wade was overturned, according to a new poll. And this is a CBS News poll. 57% of respondents to the poll said it was likely that the case legalizing same-sex marriage will now be overturned.
Well,
and 55% said the body could limit contraception.
You have idiots like actress Bette Midler, who's coming out and saying, I think her quote was, "You need to stand up and." And what were the exact words? I have to look them up. You need to fight now because gays, you're next.
Oh, I know. She's always putting her foot in her mouth. I wish she would stick to singing, or she's good, because she ain't good with the politics and logical thinking.
Remember, she told us that Joe Biden was going to be the next great president.
Yeah,
that turned out.
Yeah, I wouldn't put any money on anything that she said. I never would. Here's something that's rather kind of funny in a way, I guess. Poor Vice President Kamala Harris. Both sides are going after her for what she said. A rare bipartisan attack following a post on Twitter about fighting for abortion rights. On her official vice presidential Twitter account, she posted an image of herself watching the CNN coverage of pro-choice protests. She was flying on Air Force Two. Quote, here's what she said on the tweet. I know there are women out there who are afraid. To those of you who feel alone and scared, I want you to know the president and I are fighting for you and your rights. We are in this fight together. Now, that's one, you know, that's just one of those throwaway lines, right? It's just like, what? Nothing. It's like haze that goes by. Anyway, here are a few of the people that responded to it, both Democrats and Republicans. Here's one. Could you be specific, like, how are you fighting? Describe the tactics. Explain the policy. Give us the rundown. That came from a New York Magazine contributor. Another one. This is actor James Urbaniak. Do you know who he is by any chance? I don't know who he is, but he tweeted, I want you to know we are watching TV. Okay. And here's another one, 36,000 feet above everything, watching on a big A TV in a private plane. And the message is, we're in this together. Says, I'm not sure you guys get where the rest of us are right now. I guess we're not in a plane 36,000 feet above, you know, our private plane looking at a TV screen. So I guess you can't quite say that Kamala can feel it.
And Kamala was the one that came out and said, how dare, I think I have it somewhere. How dare they tell women what they can and cannot have in their body? How dare they?
Yeah.
Yet a year ago, she was telling people, if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to be fired.
Now you can
don't care what you think.
You can go both ways on that, right? Because people are. Some are saying that, you know.
Yeah.
It says, my body, my choice. And then, but yeah, you're the same ones that say, you got to get the shot.
Right.
And then on the other side.
Whether you like it or not, whether you're religion or whatever, right. It doesn't matter, you get it.
Right. Exactly. Anyway. We're going to take our little break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Thomas Gipping of the Heritage Foundation about the Heritage Foundation's feelings and stance on Roe versus Wade.
Every dance with the guy who gives you the eye to let him hold you tight. You can smile, every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye.
Hey, we are back on a Monday and delighted to have back Thomas Gipping, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Meese Center. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Heritage Foundation's statement from their president, Kevin Roberts, about Roe versus Wade. And if I might, Thomas, I'm going to read the first part of this statement that was made Friday by Kevin. He said, this is a great day in American history, especially for the millions of children whose innocent lives will be spared from the horrors of abortion in the years to come. For too long, Roe versus Wade has poisoned our courts, our culture, and our laws. Today's decision corrects the grave constitutional error of Roe versus Wade and finally gives the American people, through their elected representatives, the power to fix America's extreme abortion laws and enshrine protections for the unborn in law. So he doesn't mince any words, Tom. He's right there on the side of the pro-life people.
Well, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I think what's also important about that statement is he identifies Roe versus Wade as not just incorrectly interpreting the Constitution. This may be a little bit of a kind of an insider view that lawyers might appreciate most, but Roe versus Wade has had a corrosive impact, not just on our culture, but on our legal system, because it has contributed to, in the court's opinion last Friday, overruling Roe versus Wade, explained some of this. It has had a real distorting effect on a lot of legal rules that are involved in cases that have nothing to do with abortion. I mean, it's really distorted a lot of things, all from a decision that didn't even attempt to interpret the Constitution. Roe versus Wade has been the most maligned, undermined, criticized decision in Supreme Court history. It had no business being on the books. and we're all better off now that it's gone.
Yeah, it amazes me. I mean, now that we look back at this, and we can obviously see, it doesn't take much discussion to come to the conclusion that there was no underpinning in the Constitution for abortion. There was not mentioned in any way. They pulled the 14th Amendment out and decided that somehow it was a private choice. I mean, if you think about it, that's absurd.
Well,
it's not, absurd. Not, why stop at birth? Perhaps we should allow them to get rid of the kid all the way to the age of seven. They have not yet reached the age of reason. You could make as strong a case for that as you can for unborn, I think.
Well, it's not only absurd in that the right to abortion isn't in the 14th Amendment, but the word life is. I mean, to say that this comes from anywhere in the Constitution, and the Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade didn't even really care where it came from. There have been five different theories about where in the Constitution abortion comes from. I urge everyone to read the Constitution for yourself and to read this decision in Dobbs for yourself. That's why it's on the Supreme Court's website. Look at how they explain the decision that they made. Don't just take some screaming crazy who's out, you know, in the street who doesn't know what they're talking about. Read it for yourself. That will give you a better understanding of how the Supreme Court approached this issue and how it resolved it. I think we have a responsibility to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, for 49 years, it's been there. And it just amazes me that we hadn't taken it up sooner. It just, you know, it's a half a century that this thing was hanging by a thread of a legal opinion for 49 years.
It definitely should have happened earlier. The last time the Supreme Court addressed Roe versus Wade per se was in 1992 in a case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And the Supreme Court should have overruled Roe then. You know, we don't want the Supreme Court, on the one hand, to just, you know, decide whatever they want to do on any given day and decisions they might have made yesterday and they'll turn over today. But this was definitely a process of a lot of consideration, a lot of evaluation. But the Supreme Court got it right, and they got it right the right way. This I couldn't have written a better opinion myself. This was an opinion that addressed the real issues, did it in a direct and principled way. And at the end of the day, the only criticism of this is, you know, that you might want abortion. Well, that's not a good enough reason to distort the Constitution.
Oh, you're right. And Sam Alito, he was very succinct about it. He didn't waste any words. I like the way he read it. We're talking with Thomas Jipping. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Mises Center about the decision Friday that was published finally from the Supreme Court that overturned Roe versus Wade. Tom, the truth was that the decision of 6-3 was for the Dobbs versus Jackson, Mississippi Women's Health Organization. And it was more 5-4, was it not, on Roe versus Wade, with Justice Roberts being that swing vote there?
Yeah, the Supreme Court does two things in each case. The first thing is it issues what they call the judgment, which is the answer to the legal question in that case. In this case, the second one is the opinion explaining why they came to that conclusion. Chief Justice Roberts agreed to uphold the Missouri law banning most abortions after 15 weeks, but he disagreed that the court had to overrule Roe versus Wade to do it. In my view, the Chief Justice's opinion, and he explained his view separately, it really is disturbing because the Chief Justice was making up something new just to hang on to Roe versus Wade, when that's the problem all along, that the Supreme Court doesn't have authority to make these things up. Either the right is in the Constitution or it's not. If it's not, the court should say so. It's not their business to use their imagination to come up with, you know, new, and this would have been Roe versus Wade 3.0 if he had his way.
Yeah, he keeps stepping on himself, on his robe a little bit with some of his decisions. I felt he did a complete pretzel in Obamacare. If you remember, if you read that decision, you thought he was going to say it was not legal. And then at the very end, he turns around and does a U-turn. So,
and he made, this was the same error that he committed there. He so wanted to hang on to the underlying, whether it was the Obamacare statute, Roe versus Wade, that he, you know, spun some fictional tale, which the court doesn't have authority to do, in order to reach that result. It was he was wrong, and I think it hurts the court's legitimacy when you see, as you say, the court or an individual justice creating a pretzel to get where they want to go.
Yeah. Again, your president, Kevin Roberts of the Heritage Foundation, he made this statement. He also said this, Tom, I want you to comment on it, if you would. He said, Congress also has an obligation at the federal level to protect the unborn. So is he saying that we should now come out, rather than allowing each of the states to decide on abortion, we should have some sort of law from Congress to decide or to ban abortion across the country?
Well, I think, every level of government should do everything that the Constitution allows to protect the unborn. Congress certainly has a role. It's not an either or. I think different options should be explored as to what Congress can do. I think Dr. Roberts was, focusing very much on, let's not let our federal legislators off the hook to simply do nothing when they're saying, well, the state should handle all of it. I think all of our elected officials have a responsibility here, and it'll be a process of determining, what's appropriate for which level of government. But I think that obligation, I think, rests on all of them.
Right. I mean, I'm 100% pro-life. I don't want to see any child aborted. But it is a little bit more comforting to allow the people themselves in every state to make that kind of a decision. So we've got a bunch of states. I think here in Florida, too, they still have to go through a process here to set something up. It's not as defined yet, perhaps, as it might be, say, in Texas or Missouri, where they're a little bit stronger on the pro-life side. So we're going to have as they say, all the laboratories, the 50 laboratories of this country are going to be analyzing this. It'll be very interesting, will it not, to see how states fall along the way, the lines here. Go ahead.
There's two categories of laws. One, laws that were already on the books before Roe versus Wade. Those were effectively put on hold, and there's something of a process for deciding which ones will come back into effect. And then there's new laws that states have been passing. Some of them would go into effect already. Others might be a 30-day period before they go into effect. And then, of course, there's future laws. I mean, Roe versus Wade was like a gag order on Americans that somehow they weren't allowed to participate in how to handle this really challenging decision. And that's been removed, which means it's going to be a continuing process. But that's how our system of government works. We as citizens have a responsibility to participate when it comes to governing ourselves. And where the Constitution is silent, which it is on abortion, it's our responsibility. So it's going to be a great challenge, but the Supreme Court took the Constitution seriously. They didn't pretend it was written in disappearing ink. They didn't think it was a bunch of blank checks that they could write, in any amount they wanted. They took the Constitution seriously, and we're all better off for it.
Yeah, indeed. And the 10th Amendment, tells everybody that which is not in this document is remanded to the states or the people themselves. So this is exactly the right thing that they did, despite the outrage from the other side. It's always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you so very much for coming back here and talking a little bit about this most important case. I look forward to our next conversation.
Glad to do it. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. All right, Tom Gipping. We're going to take our break. We're going to talk a lot about abortion today, like lots of places are talking about it. But what should happen with abortion procedures here in Florida? The state legislature is going to have to deal with it. So we will talk with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, about this, along with possibly his older, smarter brother, Angelo. Sitting in the back room, waiting for the big boom. I'm in the
bedroom, waiting for my baby. She's so mean. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back at you here on a Monday morning, and we thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. Hey, the Supreme Court's still going on here with decisions. Listen to this, Ed. The Supreme Court has handed a big win to a former Washington high school football coach who lost his job over reciting a prayer on the football field after the game. At issue was whether a public school employee praying alone but in view of students and his football players was engaging in unprotected government speech. And if it is not government speech, does it still pose a problem under the First Amendment Establishment Clause? The Supreme Court ruled today the answer to both questions is no. So this guy gets his job back, I hope. But do you remember that case?
Yeah. And it falls under the other part of common sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for
put that in the same file.
For a man to kneel down, he didn't force his players
no.
to do it.
His players joined in because they
his
wanted to.
His players joined in. And I agree that if every other player, and I was a high school football player, got down on their knee, I probably would too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to affect me. I'm not going to lose my lunch over it.
No, and if you don't agree with it, you just take a knee anyway and
exactly.
just blend in, I guess I
That's
want to
exactly
say.
That's exactly all yeah. you have to do, yeah. Is Nobody there, is being offended by him.
And if you don't want to be a part of it,
loud.
Go get you a Gatorade.
There you go. So I agree with this. It's going to, you know, it's going to bother a lot of people again.
All the things we've got going on, we have to waste time on something like this.
I know. It's really crazy, isn't it? I wonder if he will get his job back. At this point, does he want to get his job back there, or is he going to go somewhere else?
Go somewhere else.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are delighted to have both of the Ceresi brothers, Andrew and Angelo. And guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about the effects of Roe versus Wade. But this thing with the football player, I don't know if this, we can bring this into the mix as well. Allowing a guy to bow his head or kneel down on his own on the football field after a game and say a short prayer to himself or to God. Do you have any thought on that, Andrew?
Well, Paul, they don't want you to sit there and pray, but they want you to indoctrinate kindergartners to third grade to the LGBT
yeah, very good
program.
Excellent
you
point.
Know? I mean, come on, Paul. The country's messed up, period.
You're right. You're absolutely okay. right. Angelo, how do you feel about this ruling by the Supreme Court on this football coach?
Oh, you know, when I was in Little League and Teacher League, I used to when I played baseball, I used to make the sign of the cross.
Yes.
The dirt with the baseball bat.
Lots of guys did.
And, you know, I mean, hey, there's freedom of religion in this country, right?
I mean, nobody stopped the game if you made the sign of the cross as you stepped into the batter's box.
Right. Nobody said anything.
No.
But I guess today times have changed, and, you know, this country, like my brother said, this country's taking a turn for the worse.
Yeah. Once a baseball player asked another baseball player, he saw a guy making the sign of the cross, and he stepped in, he says, does it help him? And the guy said, only if he can hit. Anyway, so I want to talk a little bit about how these, how the Roe versus Wade decision may affect, specifically in Florida. I think, Angelo, up in your state of New York, we pretty much have got it figured out that they are going to continue to allow the services. Do you think, indeed, that if it goes back to the New York legislature, they might actually broaden the services?
Will. I mean, they had a standing ovation when Cuomo was governor, and they signed legislation that they can have abortion up until birth, you know, up until the baby being born.
Right.
And they had a standing ovation, so you don't know.
Oh, my gosh. So, Andrew, have you given that any thought? Do you think that the legislature is pretty much Republican controlled, and we know that Ron DeSantis is pro-life? Are we going to start shutting down abortion places here in Florida?
Well, right now we got the 15-week thing, don't we?
Yeah, I think that's right.
We do.
So do you think we're going to make it even stricter, or do you think we'll keep it that way? Will the legislature make it? Do you think the legislature might tinker with that?
Well, Paul, I think there's a lot to be worked out myself with this, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I personally don't think it should be so black and white. No abortion or abortion.
Right.
I think there has to be a middle line. I mean, if you went and had casual sex and got pregnant, I don't think abortion is the answer for that. I think that's wrong.
Right.
But with the technology that they have today, if you're sitting there and the fetus has no arms and one leg or is totally malformed, I cannot see bringing a child into the world like that myself.
Understood. And a lot of people make that argument.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and until somebody takes care of an invalid, they would never know what the rest of their life would be in
the
alien.
And you've done that, by the way.
And it would be a lot.
Yeah.
And not only a lot for the caregivers, but for the individual themselves. I mean, imagine sitting as a paraplegic in a chair all your life. I wouldn't want that.
I know. However, who was that guy, that famous... man, that
I know who you're talking about.
Basically,
I know the little guy. I know
Stephen Hawking.
Yes, Stephen Hawking.
Yep.
Who turned out to be something more than just a vegetable sitting in a chair.
You know, I understand that too. But this is what I'm saying. I mean, there's decisions. There's got to be decisions. It cannot be just black and white. I mean, I understand if a girl gets raped. They do have what is called the morning after pill.
And that's what I would use as a kind of that thing. When something like that happens, God forbid, that you can do something quickly because you know right away what happened and you don't want, you don't want it to go any further. And that's the, you know, that's basically the morning after pill or whatever. Right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Paul, you know what?
Yes, sir.
You have to excuse me right now.
Sure.
I have got to leave because my friend is on his last breath.
Of course.
I've got to run. Let my brother handle it.
I will, and Andrew, we'll talk on Wednesday. Thanks, Andrew. Okay.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Paul.
Yes, sir, Angelo.
The thing is, you know, now that Democrats are saying, or the pro-choice people are saying, that the Supreme Court is illegitimate, right? Made an illegitimate decision. Well, for 60 years... they used the Supreme Court. It was okay for them then, right?
Right. It depends on whose ox is being gored.
Right.
I mean, you know, the nine justices of the Supreme Court in 1973, what wise, thoughtful men they were. By the way, they were all men then.
Yeah.
And today they're a bunch of idiots, right?
It depends on which side is winning, right? That's whether you're illegitimate or you're not. You know, this... abortion issue, if they put the vote to the people, right, they want to make it part of the Constitution, right?
Yeah.
then the Congress would...
They have to make an amendment to the Constitution.
They have to make an amendment.
It has to go to the states. It has to be ratified. It's not an easy process.
Right, and that's why they won't do it, because 33 states out of 50 would have to ratify it, correct?
Three quarters, I think. I believe so, yes. That sounds right.
What they should do is put it to the people. Have the people vote it on a November election. Have the people vote on it and say, are you willing to kill a baby or a child, however you want to word it? Let the people vote on it and see how many people will actually vote for that. And that would really solve the issue.
Well, I don't want to base an amendment on a simple vote like that. I think it's good that it's hard to do and that every state would have to actually vote for it. You know what I mean? It's a process that keeps us from just waking up one morning and going, oh, I think I'd like to change this, that, or the other thing. You know, you really have to give it a lot of thought, and it takes a while to get it done. Amendments to the Constitution are not easy to do, but I think there's good sense in it. Because if you try to word it,
The 19th Amendment, right, with the women to vote, right?
That was ratified by all the states.
And then how about when prohibition?
That was another one that they got off the books, yes.
And they should do the same thing with this abortion. Do you think that 2/3 of the country would vote for that?
I don't know. But see, again, it goes to the states. Now, the states have to ratify it.
Right.
So every all 50 states, are you going to get 3/4 of the states to ratify a federal law that outlaws abortion?
Probably not.
I don't think so, either.
You won't get 2/3 of the country to ratify that. That's why the Democrats pushed the issue back in the 70s, and they continue. Now they say it's blasphemy to take it away, a constitution, this and that. The only reason they go through the courts is because they know they can't get their legislation passed.
Right.
That's the only reason why.
Yeah.
Because judges do not legislate laws, right? Civics 101.
That's correct.
Your executive branch.
Yeah, this was the Supreme Court that finally admitted what they should have admitted in 1973, 49 years ago.
Right.
That this is not in the Constitution. You can't find anything about abortion in the Constitution. That doesn't mean that they want it prohibited. It means that they're not going to rule on it. And therefore,
Democrats want it to be ruled as such.
Yes, they do. They want a blanket coverage for themselves.
They want blanket coverage. And they know that 2/3 of the country will not make it blanket coverage.
Right.
And that's why they go through the courts. The same thing that they did with the 2020 election, getting absentee ballots.
But here was the thing. They always could, before 1973, the states, each one of the states had their own regulations. So, you know, even back then, abortions were occurring.
Right.
They were not something you publicly talked about. But let's be honest, abortions in some way, shape, or form have been around since humanity, right?
Right. But they wanted to make it universal in the United States. They want to call it reproductive medical procedures, the whole nine yards, using different terminology to suit their needs. That's all they do.
Right.
And they're continually doing that. Like I said, during the election there in 2020, they were going to the judges to change election laws. States, legislatures, they legislate election laws, not judges.
Right.
This is what...
You're right.
The American people have to, you know...
Yeah, judges were becoming legislators in certain states on this.
It's not
very frustrating.
It's not their job. Just
That's
like
right.
The Supreme Court never should have legislated Roe v. Wade in 1973.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because it's been done, they automatically feel, well, that they can do that. It's not so.
Right.
I mean, Civics 101, do you know how many American people do not understand how that this is a representative form of government?
And I agree with you.
How this country works?
I agree with you. They don't even know what a republic is. Most people.
They have no idea. I mean, I was at a Cars and Coffee with our car club the other day, and most of these people don't even understand what's going on. And yet, these are the same people who are voting for president and, you know, raising kids and everything else. They don't teach this in school anymore. how our country works.
No, the civics courses have gone kaput. I'm hoping they're bringing them back to some extent.
They're teaching critical race theory. They're right. Teaching how this country was terrible and this and that, right? Instead of teaching what this country is all about.
Well, those are the type of people that the media prey on, you know, and some of the Democrats,
uninformed.
Too, you know.
The ignorant.
They only want to hear one side. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of women out there that have had views one way and gone through the experience, both sides, and probably have changed their mind. You know?
You know who changed her mind?
Well, I mean, you can
Roe.
Have a,
you know,
well,
Jane Roe.
I know, but you can have a woman out there that says, you know, I was going to get an abortion, and you know, I all my friends said to do it, and I didn't. My kid turned out to be a scholar and the best thing in my life. And
of course.
On the other way around, you know, you have people that didn't work out so well.
Well, you know, a lot of this stuff started back in the 60s when they were preaching free love, free this and free that. You know what I'm saying?
With no responsibility, of course.
No responsibility.
And, I mean, in this, I believe it's all states, we have the three-day law, do we not? I mean, 90 days.
Not 90 days, but 3 days.
Okay, 3 days to decide whether it's a keeper or not.
Right.
You know, with no.
To give you no chance to have a second thought.
Yeah, exactly.
It. Right.
And then you have, like, the Supreme Court, or the states are, like, New York State, right? And this congressional thing where they raised the age to 21 to purchase a semi-automatic weapon and everything like that. They're saying, okay, now you got to be 21 years old. But yet they got 12-year-old girls that can make a decision without their parents whether to have a sex change or an abortion or anything else.
Exactly.
Right? 12 years old. So they're saying that a 12-year-old is more responsible than an 18-year-old? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the people
no sense
that are
to it.
Changing the laws in our country and running our right. country. Do you wonder why this country's so screwed up?
You're right about that. Angelo, it is always a pleasure, and your brother is doing God's work right now. We know with a Korean War veteran who is at the twilight. But I want to thank you so very much for coming on. I look forward to talking with you again next Monday.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, sir. And there he goes, our eye in the northern sky. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, more than 1 million voters have switched to the Republican Party over the past year. We're going to find out why.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro. Hey!
Bula, bula. Bula, bula, we're back. The final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. We thank you so very much for joining us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network, so we hope you are listening to us at that time. However, we know you got other things to do between 10 and 11 in the morning, so you can always go to our website and look for our podcast button at the very top. Thanks to Big Ed, he puts all our shows on podcast. So go to our OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. He's got the most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is in the top 10, and away you go. All right, well, here is a very interesting statistic. This is, by the way, from the Associated Press. No friend of conservatives, usually, says a political shift is beginning to take hold across the country as tens of thousands of suburban swing voters who helped fuel the Democratic Party gains in recent years are now becoming Republicans. More than 1 million voters across 43 states have switched to the Republican Party over the last year, according to voter registration data analyzed by the Associated Press. This reflects a phenomenon that is playing out in virtually every region of the country. Democratic and Republican states, along with cities and small towns, in the period since Biden replaced Trump. But nowhere is the shift more pronounced and dangerous for Democrats than in the suburbs, where well-educated swing voters who turned against Trump's party in recent years appear to be swinging back. So that's very interesting, is it not? Bodes very well for Republicans. Now, they go on to say that in some cases it isn't because of the Republican message, it's because they don't like the Democratic message and they're just rejecting it. Well, I think they're looking at gas prices and they're looking at the border and they're looking at the way we handled Afghanistan. They're looking at the fact that the food they want is not on the shelf, and if it is, it's too expensive. Of course, that's what they're rejecting right now. I think Biden is the single biggest, whatever you want to call it. All you need is to keep Biden in the news, and you're going to have more and more Republicans. And that's just the way it is. All right, before we get to our top 10, Ed, this is, I guess, a sad day after the night for hockey fans in Tampa Bay. Our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning will not be enjoying a third straight Stanley Cup. They went down last night. In a very exciting game, I thought. Did you watch any of it?
I tried. I was a little superstitious about how I was watching it. But off and on. I pretty much was watching the whole thing.
Well, the Lightning started out. They scored the first goal, but they just couldn't hang on. And I'll be honest, as much as I wanted to see them win, Colorado winning at 6. I think Colorado probably was a little quicker to the puck.
Yeah, and the only silver lining is they got to play one more home game, which was nice, you know.
That's true.
So
we did have
a full allotment of home games in, which is great. And it just, you know, they were saying that this is probably one of the best Stanley Cup matchups in years past that they can remember. There's two teams that were
very
equally
close.
Matched, and, you know, Colorado a little younger, a little faster. And you got to remember, the Lightning were missing Braden Point. You know, it was one of their best scorer.
No question about
so
it. They had to adapt.
That might have been the one man could have made a difference.
Yeah.
They weren't getting blown out.
Do you think Vasilevsky is on the overside of his...
No, because, you know, I think he found his groove in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, he reestablished himself.
Okay.
You know, you got the guy across from you, people saying this is the next great thing. You know, and then he gives up 6 goals and they yank him. Or they 5 goals and they yank him. So I think he reestablished himself. I think Vasilevsky...
Yeah, he did a great job during that series. You're right. Okay. It's time for our top 10. This comes from The Economist. And we always, we've done, you know, most livable places, but this is The Economist coming up with, for 2022, the 10 most livable cities in the world. Now, the cities are scored on stability, healthcare, culture, and environment, also education and infrastructure. All right? And no matter what, it's always somebody's opinion. It's never, you know, there's no guarantee on this, right? But here we go. Number 10. We have a tie. Osaka, Japan.
Osaka.
Yes. And Melbourne, Australia. Good day, mate. So you got those two at number 10. Number 9.
Sorry.
Ed's a little slow. He drops the drumsticks every once in a while.
That's what happened.
So we, you know, that happens. He's human. Number 9 is Amsterdam. the Netherlands, mm-hmm. you know, with all the canals and mm-hmm. all that kind of thing. They always seem to do well. It's kind of a wild place from what I gather with the drug culture.
Yeah.
You know. Number eight. Now, I've been here, and I can attest to how nice a place it is. Toronto in Canada.
I've been to Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
It's a very cosmopolitan yeah. city. Lots to do. They really have figured that, yeah, that city out.
Labatt's up there.
And Labatt's beer. You mm-hmm. can get all the Labatt's beer you want. Number seven. Frankfurt, Germany. That one's kind of surprised me, but not really, I guess. I mean, Frankfurt, Germany, it's got to be just... I all I can do is picture rolling hills and the steeples, and not the biggest city in Germany, but it must be awfully pretty and interesting. Number six, where the cuckoo clock came from, Geneva, Switzerland, and where all the banking industry is. A lot of rich people, a lot of wealthy people live in Geneva. I would say mm-hmm. that per capita, it might have the wealthiest, you know, wealthiest average mm-hmm. salary there. Number five, and I've been here too, Vancouver, Canada. Have you been there?
I have, yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, the skiing was okay.
In Vancouver?
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. I went to Whistler.
You have to get a little bit further east of the ocean to get into this. Or, no, yeah. I guess some of the mountains have it.
Yeah, the mountains.
All right. Number four. Hey, Calgary. Wow, I'm surprised. Right. You know, that's where the great Calgary Stampede is?
Mm-hmm.
The rodeo. It's the biggest rodeo, I think, in the world.
Oh.
The Calgary Stampede. And it's right next to British Columbia. That's Alberta is the next one over. All right, number three. Hey, back to Switzerland. Zurich.
Mm.
Zurich, Switzerland. I don't know if that's in the mountainy areas where the Alps are or not, but all right. Number two, Copenhagen. Wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen, Denmark. Right there on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine how pretty that is. And, you know, it's a very old city. It's a beautiful city. That would be one city I would like to visit if I could get the opportunity. All right, Ed. I know you're not going to name necessarily the city. Can you name the part of the world where you think it might be, though? Number one?
Maybe there's another place in Switzerland.
Okay, fair enough. You're not far off.
Mm.
You're not far off. It's Vienna, Austria.
Mm.
Vienna, Austria. Stability and good infrastructure are the city's main charms, supported by good health care and plenty of opportunities for culture and entertainment. So... Mm. All I remember is Vienna sausage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much. We will be back again on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.